Hi, my name is Paul Dunay, and welcome to another Buzz Marketing for Technology podcast. Welcome to another Buzz Marketing for Technology podcast, conducted in cooperation with Marketing Props. I'm your host, Paul Dunay, and today I'm speaking with Stuart Bowen, Senior Director of Virtual Events for ON24. So welcome to the podcast, Stuart.
Thank you, Paul.
Great. So today we're going to explore how to put in place a virtual event strategy. So I chose Stuart because he previously worked with CMP Media on developing their virtual world strategy. So, Stuart, can you tell us a little bit about what you did there?
Yes, of course. A couple of years ago, when I was working actually for CMP Software Group, I was introduced to Second Life by a colleague of mine. His name is John Janczyk. And in a meeting, which I guess lasted over a couple of days, we quickly realized there was an opportunity to break new ground, setting up a group that we would be responsible for building a facility in Second Life. And essentially what that was putting on our own events and then also consulting with large enterprise companies, people like Sun, Cisco, Intel, et cetera, on their own events, either on our island or on our own. In addition to that, we ran a series of three events, which lasted actually over a six-day period called Live 2.0, which attracted over 1,000 registrants from professionals and business and developers in virtual worlds. And we really, over about a year and a half period, built a long-lasting community by also putting on weekly events, inviting guest speakers, both people actually in virtual worlds and from outside as well, introducing them to the medium. So that's essentially sort of covers what we were doing while I was actually at CMP with Second Life and looking, of course, at other virtual worlds that either paralleled or competed with it.
Right. Now, the difference is, you know, Second Life is its own virtual world, and what you've set up and what you're working on with ON24 is, again, its own virtual world, specifically for an event strategy. So, you know, can you give us a little bit more clarity on how virtual events differ from virtual worlds?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. I think there are some practical differences between the two. Virtual worlds really require, for example, a software download, you know, allowing users to move around the world. They're also really at sort of the outer edges of the virtual world space in the fact that they're really totally immersive in that users can sort of create an avatar, which ends up being a conduit for interactions with either, you know, people at the event itself, people putting on events, or other virtual world residents. So there's some practical issues, and in terms of virtual events, there really isn't any download apart from probably having the latest version of Flash. Virtual worlds also tend to focus around communities, and that's really, you know, for the most part, why people go there. They perhaps start to explore those worlds, and then they join a community, either, again, large or small. And there are some obvious exceptions to that, which you know we can get back to. But for the most part, they also don't tend to focus on business. And again, there are some exceptions to that rule, some notable exceptions. Social networking also with virtual worlds is at the center of why they exist. People go there to interact with one another. The exceptions that I mentioned were companies like Cisco, Sun, IBM, who've invested a lot of money and publicly millions of dollars to use those environments to interact with their customers. They've certainly built islands in Second Life and other worlds, but also they use those to collaborate with their customers and also with their colleagues. The other thing in virtual worlds, of course, is that there are a lot of educational institutions that are prevalent, which they use Second Life and other worlds like that to great effect. The difference, though, between that and virtual events is that virtual events tend to focus on business. They're very practical applications for virtual events. So most sponsors or event organizers tend to participate in a virtual event to, for example, collect leads. It's a very lead-driven environment, and demographic and user data are on attendees. And because those sponsors of virtual events want to gather on data on people, that relate to either a product, technology, or a market, virtual events tend to be very targeted and promoted towards a specific audience. So, for example, information technology, electronics, channel. Virtual worlds tend to exist, and then they gather a community or communities in there because there are events going on which are typically unrelated to one another.
Right.
So the virtual events are standalone in that they're usually done on a 1 or 2 day basis. And so the community tends to gather for a shorter period of time. But we are seeing a trend towards sort of more 365-day events in the virtual event space as well.
Right. Now, I'm so glad to hear you say that the difference between the virtual world and the virtual event was really the focus on business, because you know, taking a look at Second Life, as I did in my role at Bearing Point, I couldn't imagine the download piece of it, the whole avatar piece of it, and that be focused on business and yet have, you know, none of the lead generation tools around it or the collection vehicle for leads around it. So, you know, great distinction, and I think a very important distinction. So has the industry been more receptive to virtual events now? Are you seeing a pickup in that?
Yes, absolutely. And I think that there are certain things that the sort of stars are coming together which are driving virtual worlds and virtual events forward. I think if you take just the virtual world as a whole, the category, you know, there's a lot of investment in that. I think in 2008, in the first half, over $350 million was actually invested by VC companies, for example. So it's sort of reminiscent in the early days of the web, and no one quite knows what is going to be the best model going forward. But for the astute companies, enterprise, media, event organizers, and VC companies, you know, there's investment and there's certainly inquiry into what is actually going on. But to be more specific in terms of the reception to that, they are being receptive. Marketers are being more receptive to virtual events because, you know, there's sort of probably four or five reasons why that would be so. For example, which I think is well documented, certainly looking at control costs, either in terms of allowing employees to travel to events and, you know, putting on their own events. You know, event organizers are also looking to see how virtual events can complement what they are doing. And we see this virtual events as being much more complementary than competitive to physical events. It's a natural extension to what, if they're heavily invested, for example, in webcasts, you know, whether they're using webcasts to communicate externally to their customers or internally to their investors and employees. And they're also seeing that social networking is starting to come into the business environment. So they want to create as much as possible more free-flowing dialogue with their customers in a business setting. When we were doing the virtual, when we were doing our events in Second Life, a customer from a very large enterprise account told us that she likes to go into a virtual event setting because it does give her the opportunity to talk and to communicate to customers to find out what they might think about a particular product launch, because she doesn't normally have the opportunity to do so because she can't go to physical events. There's either too many.
I like that. I like that very much. So, and I don't think marketers really get a lot of face time with, you know, actual customers. So this could be a good way of doing your own, let's say, private research, you know, one-on-one research with potential clients. A very nifty effect.
Yeah, and it's, you know, focus groups, I think, you know, people still do focus groups, and it's a bit of a controlled setting, a bit of a controlled environment. I've done a number of those myself. So with the opportunity for people to interact and to ask questions, I think it really does, again, for marketers and for really throughout the organization to sort of get a real-time snapshot of what is important. And maybe there are concerns, perhaps, about a product, or, you know, somebody wants to tell somebody what a great service they've had or how good the product is. So, and again, the social networking, I think you've just got to look at it from a business setting, at how popular LinkedIn is. So we know it's in the business setting. This is just a way to make it more interactive, essentially.
Great. So can you talk to us a little bit about, you know, what you tell people when it comes to getting a virtual event strategy in place?
Yes. As far as the actual strategy is concerned, you know, first of all, I think you've got to have, from a marketer perspective, you've got to have a clear idea as to why you may want to either sponsor or organize a virtual event. And the differences between the physical event that you might already be putting on or you might be planning. So I think it's really important to weigh up the sort of the pros and cons. And I think if you talk to enough people, those people obviously that have virtual event platforms, you'll start to get a pretty clear idea of why it would be a good idea or even perhaps not. Having, I think, established that, then I think it's very important to explain within one's own organization what the goals are and what you hope to achieve from doing a virtual event. And that's true, of course, with any marketing campaign, whether it's online or print or face-to-face or direct mail. But I think it takes a little bit more explaining, clearly, because the virtual event market is at its early stages, so they may not be familiar with it. They're likely to be familiar with, for example, for webcasting, but as far as virtual show platform is concerned, it takes a lot of explaining. So, for example, it might be that with the organization you're working with, to get them to do demos throughout the organization, for example. And then the third point is, I think, you have to make sure that the resources at hand to do a virtual event. Once all that's decided, you know, what do you need? What is the provider, the partner you're working with, what can they provide? And what is their role in helping you from the very moment that you sign a contract with them through to the event and through past the event when it's actually in a sort of on-demand basis? What help are they going to give you, particularly if you've never done one before? Because there are a lot of potential pitfalls that you have to be aware of. So I would say that, you know, those three things, and then, of course, you have to select the right vendor, and there's some various criteria that you would probably go through to make sure that you're getting the right vendor as well.
Right. Now, are you seeing some, you know, measurable results? Is there a, you know, decrease in, you know, cost per event that you're seeing, or some other metrics that you can share with our audience as far as, you know, what the benefit might be?
To the benefit to the actual show producer themselves?
Sure. Well, just the benefit to putting in place a virtual event strategy.
Yeah, so I think that the benefits are, I mean, there are actually a lot of benefits. But, you know, for example, they can, as I mentioned before, they can certainly complement physical events without doubt. So that might be if they're an event organizer, a large event organizer, they may want to put on a virtual event that precedes the physical event. Maybe to showcase the speakers, for example, maybe to drive people to the physical event. There's lots of reasons why one would do that, and even, of course, do it afterwards, and also to extend the messaging and the reach of that particular brand. Paul, test new markets. You know, there is a great way to go back to that focus group idea that we talked about. Here's a great way to test new markets, both from a geographical perspective. You may already have a physical event in a location, but maybe you want to take it to another country. There's an opportunity to do that. I mentioned leads right at the beginning, and that's why most people currently are doing virtual events. But, you know, the ability to gather very detailed data on potential customers, including demographics and also what they're looking at, what they're interested in by what they attend as far as webcasts and white papers, et cetera. Getting instant feedback. Again, you know, living, breathing focus group. Nothing better than to ask a potential customer what they think. And obviously they're going to certainly voice their opinion. I know there's certainly been research in the virtual world space where people have measured the fact that people tend to ask more questions in a setting where they have where they're sort of somewhat invisible rather than sticking up their hand at a physical event and asking that difficult question. Interact real time with their customers, for example. You know, the ability to ask questions. I think I mentioned reaching out to a worldwide audience. And finally, I think, well, not finally, but I guess one of the last points I would make here is give direct access to a decision maker. That being that decision makers and experts at large companies are not normally accessible or available to, you know, somebody attending a physical event or somebody wanting information from a particular website. You may go into a sales office, you may go into product marketing, but having the opportunity to put the expert within your company or an organization or an editor in front of that audience where they can ask questions real lifetime and then comment within sort of a social setting with their peer group, I think is a very, very important point in terms of sort of one of the advantages of a virtual event and how marketers can actually leverage one of those. So,
Excellent. Super. Well, thank you very much for joining me today, Stuart. I really appreciate your time. And for our listeners, now it's your turn. Please let us know what you're doing or contemplating when it comes to virtual events. Stuart and I would be glad to keep this conversation going with you online, and we'll be back again next week with another podcast. So thank you all for listening. Thank you for joining us today. We look forward to having you back next week on another Buzz Marketing for Technology podcast.